The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this morning is Austin Adams. He's Vice President Public Sector of a company called Alfresco, A-L-F-R-E-S-C-O, Alfresco. Kind of radio friendly, but you got to spell it out so people can go to your website, alfresco.com. I was at a trade show about three, four weeks ago, and I was stumbling and I talked to all the vendors. I looked up and I said, Alfresco sounds like a restaurant, or it sounds like a, you know, Italian dish or frittata or something. I just waltzed up. I said, Alfresco, I know nothing about you guys. Yeah. And then I learned the story and I said, well, that sounds kind of interesting. It's open source and it solves a lot of problems that my listeners have. And so I contacted Austin and said, you want to take your life in your hands and submit to an interview and tell the listeners about that. And as I was saying before the show, most of my listeners are federal IT professionals. They're just regular human beings. They put their pants on one leg at a time and go to work and they try to figure out what's going on. And maybe they should take a look at Alfresco. And I said, well, let's talk about the advantages and disadvantages of open source and Alfresco, and maybe they'll have a better selection of what to choose in the future. And maybe they'll be like me. They're at a trade show. They see Alfresco. And they just wander up and, hey, is Austin around? I heard you on the radio. So, Austin, before we begin, perhaps you can give our listeners maybe a little rough background, please.
Sure, yeah. I'm a recent addition to Alfresco. I've been here about 6 months or so. I came to Alfresco from Microsoft, where I worked in the Department of Defense. Got a long background in public sector IT, really came up through serving global war on terrorism IT problems, searching and hunting terrorists with IT search technologies. Did a lot of really cool stuff in the war in Iraq around enabling things like SharePoint to become a battle command display for the air war for Marines, and turning, you know, basic technologies, you know, bits and bytes into mission critical systems, and largely trying to use things that they can use to disrupt the business models that they're currently in. So
went to school in James Madison.
I did. I was a JMU student body president as an undergrad, and then went to Georgetown for grad school and executive master's in leadership program, which I recommend people to take a look at it. It's a really amazing program that they've done now for 10 years.
Yes, I teach over there. So yes. another reason to have you on the show.
That's
so
right.
That's all good.
I've been a season ticket holder of Hoyas basketball for a decade.
Great.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm in the classroom and I do corporate training as well, what I'll get is 15 or 18 people in a room and I'll just throw out a word and get a response. Okay. So here's a word and get a response and that leads to discussion. And,
sure.
And if I tossed out the word business process management, mm-hmm. I think people might think of a local company called Appian.
Sure.
If I tossed out the phrase enterprise content management, mm-hmm. Maybe some listeners would say, maybe Documentum, maybe something like SharePoint. Mm-hmm. So when you Google Alfresco, the words that pop up are those, BPM.
And, that's right.
And so tastes great, less filling. I mean, tell us about the company and what exactly do you do?
I think the beauty of where Alfresco is right at the intersection of those two words that you brought up. So it's a really good question because I believe that content, just sharing in documents and storing documents the way that most of the government is today, and file shares and SharePoint and glorified document repositories, isn't particularly helpful to solving mission critical problems, and especially doesn't enable them to reach outside of their enterprise. I'd say the number one reason people are looking at classic enterprise content management systems is to improve finding things. So that's one piece of it, but that doesn't really solve the kind of problems that I hope to solve at Alfresco, which are really mission critical problems that are right at the heart of what the agencies are involved in. So if we're talking to an intelligence community, we want to help the analysts share information and work on difficult problems and share maps and be able to go back and forth agilely. And when we're talking about the Department of Defense, we talk about things like task tracking, where they're looking to, you know, basically run the Department of Defense and action processing that is right at the heart of a business process that needs strong automation. But when you intersect that BPM capability with an enterprise content management capability, you get some real magic. Grants management, contracts management, the applications go on and on. And that's really the sweet spot that we think is around taking and automating content and moving it across. People use the word silos a lot. I think silos, somebody had a very good intent of solving their own business problem by going out and buying a best of breed product. But how does that integrate with other best of breed products across the enterprise? That's where a BPM tool like ours, which is based on open standards and open source, where we can connect and hook to all of these proprietary systems and track a business process right through four or five proprietary solutions in your agency and solve a problem, wherever it might be inside your agency.
Let me just pull out some thoughts from that. Mm-hmm. I deal with listeners all the time, and they listen to my interviews, and they pull out things, different things than I do. Mm-hmm. Now, what I would pull out of your statement, I would say, open source, that's lightweight. Open source, that's what kids in college use. But you said DOD. I said, wait a minute. So you just said open source, which is lightweight and fluffy and kids in high school and college. And, sure. But DOD, DOD is not light and fluffy, is it? I mean, this is serious stuff.
Yes. I think people get the impression of open source as, somebody in a group of guys in hoodies across the internet hacking on something. Alfresco represents a company of about 350 plus employees. We code, develop, QA, patch, and support an open source product and deliver it to enterprise customers who are solving big, hairy, important problems, whether it's wrangling asteroids or it's solving intelligence community problems or fighting wars in the Department of Defense or trademarks, patent and trademark office, or general GSA running their operation over there, which is relatively large. We're solving really important problems all across the federal government. And, I think that people are seeing open source as an advantage because we have, 30,000 developers across the world who are adding modules and adding capabilities into our open source platform. We take those great ideas, enterprise support them, and provide that 24/7 support and background into the federal customers with people who have long and deep backgrounds in solving mission problems in federal, and apply this really exciting technology to it, which we've been getting an amazing response at the idea that we don't carry with us a proprietary stack. I say that having just explained that I came from Microsoft, but we don't carry with us the need to have to sit on SQL or to sit on a particular database or storage. Or do you want to be in an Amazon cloud? Do you want it to be on-prem? Do you want it hybrid? We can support any number of different backends and platforms, which is a real game changer for folks because we're able to do this at a lower cost point than our competitors who are trying to drag an entire backend with them within their project.
And that's what appealed to me when I was talking to that person at the trade show. And, I did stumble on Alfresco. I started talking to them, and they said, hey, we got 1,800 customers. I said, no way. And they said, hey, we're in 195 countries. I said, no, I don't believe that. No way. Then they talked about, I thought, McDonald's, billions and billions of documents and millions of users. Mm-hmm. And before the show, you said that, yes, you've had some experience in the agencies with three letters.
Yes.
And I'm not even going to say the name because I don't want to get dragged out of here. So this is on the one hand, you can say, well, yes, it's open source, and it's community driven, mm-hmm. but it's also a serious product that can be used in life and death situations. And so I don't want to, trivialize it, but mm-hmm. but it has a broad appeal here.
It does. Yeah. And we see people who are struggling with the proprietary stacks that everybody's familiar with. I don't think the problems in any of these customers are all that unique at federal than they are anywhere else. I think we all struggle in previous jobs or maybe even jobs you're in today to find what you're looking for. What's the most approved recent version of that? How do I get my hands on it? And then when I'm out in the field and I need to look on my iPad, my iPhone, my Android device, or my laptop, and I need to find the most recent version of that, or which one was approved, or where it is in that business process that's inside of some unique tool for that part of my agency, I can find it on the go, in my hands, and be able to deliver that. That's a very powerful statement in the world we live today, where you have a lot of these agencies struggling and really using email as the glue that fixes a problem that should not be an email fixed problem.
Well, let's take a break and come back. We'll talk about email there. We'll talk about a survey that Alfresco really released, I think, about a week or two ago. And it talks about email and how people today like to solve problems with different types of technology than maybe other people do. And look about our listeners and see how it can help them. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this afternoon is Austin Adams, Vice President Public Sector at Alfresco. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. This afternoon, we have Austin Adams in the studio. He's Vice President of Public Sector at Alfresco, A-L-F as in Frank, R-E-S-C-O. If you're a Spanish speaker, it's awful easy. But if you're just a regular old American, Alfresco is a challenge to spell. Alfresco.com for more information. You know, I was listening to my buddy Mark Amtower, of all people. And he had some people on the air, and they did surveys about govies. And govies are just regular folks. They're just regular 2 feet and 2 hands and all stuff, and walk around, have problems, traffic issues. And what they found out was, you're talking about a survey, is that govies maybe not trust salespeople who waltz in three-piece suits and ties, but they do trust independent surveys. They may trust a white paper article, or especially like a review or a compare and contrast, where they can get different perspectives on collaboration software, different perspectives on mobile device management, different perspectives on copy data management. So in doing my research for this presentation, this interview today, I saw a survey that was just released like, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago. Yep. So what's this survey all about? You guys did.
Yeah, we had Dimensional Research reach out to a good number of people, a lot of which were government. Came back with some questions around their use of email, personal versus their work email. And came back that at about a third of them, 33% exactly, use their personal email as a majority way of communicating with the outside world.
I'm guilty as charged. Yeah. I do.
And then 10% of them, I was actually very surprised about this one, wholly use personal email and never use their work email, which was a surprise.
Never, that's a shock.
It was a surprising statistic to me as well. And I think those numbers are probably relatively conservative because I think people understand that they don't want to confess to that maybe.
Yeah.
But we see, and I see in my day-to-day interactions with government all the time, especially around procurement and acquisition and sending documents back and forth, and it's a lot of them are CCing their personal email address. And then on weekends and mobile devices and when they're on the road, they're using iPads and tablets and sending from their Gmails and Hotmails.
Yesterday at 2 o'clock, I drove over to Reston to do some training and CEO texted me in the parking lot saying, hey, a bad situation happened with one of the persons there. And I just walked in anyway. But he never thought of emailing me. He texted me in the parking lot because they grabbed me. So it is a different way of communicating now, isn't there?
It is. And, you know, you ask them why. You know, my personal experiences showed that they're limited by file size a great deal of time. So they're trying to pass large documents. They're trying to extend the enterprise to the outside world. So they're trying to interact with multiple people and outside vendors, and they can't get into the portals and the business solutions that are offered by the enterprise because they don't allow for access from the outside world. That's a security concern, obviously, for a lot of the solutions that we compete against have trouble really handling that hybrid cloud extended enterprise world that really every single federal agency we talk to lives in. And they're really underserved by the legacy providers. You either have some of the folks in this market are completely cloud, which negates the fact that a huge portion of what's going on in federal government is still on-prem. And then there's some folks that are completely on-prem and completely ignore the extended enterprise and the cloud world. And frankly, one of the things I love about Alfresco is and think is important, and I'm hearing from every one of our federal customers, is we've got a foot in both worlds. We're going to live in a hybrid cloud world for the extended decade and on. There are certain things that belong on-prem and off.
So if you're listening to this interview and there's snow on the ground and you want to get this this survey, where would they go?
Yeah, alfresco.com is a great place to go and see it. We just had a Wall Street Journal article that called it out and talked about government employees using personal email for work. But alfresco.com is a great place to go and check it out.
Yeah, and that's what I – and you know what's going to happen is that someone may be listening to this 3 or 4 months down the road, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning. They're sending out emails, mm-hmm. and they go, well, and they'll go to Alfresco and maybe read the white paper. And then the next time they're at a trade show, yeah. maybe they'll walk up to you and go, well, I didn't know that, but did you – is it really 59% of people in the survey were not satisfied with the tools that they were presented to at work with, and they decided to use consumer-grade tools.
That's right.
Which is what we call, in my world, bad.
Shadow IT.
Yeah, it's not,
you know, classic shadow IT problem.
It's not a good one, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of an analogy here. When I was a teenager, I bought a car, and I started working on it. All my dad's tools were English, and I had to get metric. So I bought all metric tools from Sears, and this is what's going on here, is that the tools that my dad used weren't appropriate for me, and maybe the tools that I use are not appropriate for Austin.
That's exactly right. There's this balance that's not found very, very artfully. The CIO has compliance problems, records management challenges, because we're an industry-leading records management capability. They've got the need to provide organization and structure and security as a primary concern to their enterprise content that's growing by leaps and bounds every week, you know, doubling, tripling. Some of these repositories are getting very, very large and hard to provide security to. And then you have a line of business leader who's responsible for getting a job done, who goes, those tools aren't solving my problem, so I'm going to go buy something or use something free online that will solve that problem. And the CIO and the records manager, for obvious reasons, see that as a big problem. And providing a solution that can wrap around that, as we talked about BPM, providing an intersection between the two, as well as our enterprise content management platform that's based with open APIs and open standards that can integrate with the Salesforce.coms and the Box.coms and the SharePoints and the file shares and the Exchange, whether or not it's on-prem or off, is really the right answer right now for a lot of federal customers.
Now, here's an embarrassing statistic. For people in this survey, 47% prefer chat and text versus people my age, boomers, 36% prefer chat. Isn't that kind of interesting? Same thing with online meetings. 47% prefer online meetings, where old geezers like me, 26% boomers, prefer online meetings. I mean, if you're managing a staff of 100 people, what you have to do is you have to present them with the tools that they're comfortable with, that they're going to accomplish the task with. I mean, if I waltzed in and handed someone a typewriter, it's almost like handing someone a typewriter and go, okay, Austin, type up this report. It's not going to work.
Yeah, we're seeing that massive explosion in digital content on a variety of different platforms. And whether or not you or I are in a text message session or in an IM session in our IM tool, passing a document back and forth and collaborating in real time, how are we keeping, as a CIO and a records manager, how are we keeping that secure? How are we making sure that only the right people get to touch it? And how are we storing that and providing proper records management procedures around it? That's a very difficult problem for these legacy enterprise content management solutions that really haven't learned to grapple with the new IT that we live in today, which is extended enterprise. As you mentioned, we're IMing, we're texting, we're meeting in virtual meetings, and we want to share documents in real time, and we want to collaborate and have a business process that does it how we do it. When you force somebody to do an arbitrary business process that doesn't feel natural to them, frankly, guess what? They don't do it. They go find a different way. The water finds the path of least resistance, and so do federal workers. They'll find the easiest way to get it done. And you know what mostly it is? It's jumping on email and forwarding it out of Gmail or whatever it is, which is a huge security risk. And that's part of the problem that we think we can solve by providing really nice mobile applications, seamlessly, really simple to use and very secure platforms that you can find things and you can do your work and change your business process and flex it, as we mentioned, as it goes to the cloud and on-prem and back and forth again.
Because there's no choice now. I was on a conference call last week, a person in Hungary, a person in India, and one guy who was traveling around the West, and me, and I was about to go to Boston. And so how can, you know, you can't sit around a conference table with suits and ties and have cups and saucers with coffee like some 1965 movie. Mm-hmm. And it's so dynamic and fast. And by the way, this is 9 to 5. This is like 7 o'clock at night, and things are shifting because we had to accommodate this guy who was traveling. And so what has to happen is there has to be a new way to collaborate. And I think this is just an alfresco apparently has some solutions for my listeners.
Yeah. You talked about video there, which I think is also important. There's a great deal of video content that really is not tagged, stored, searchable, and integrated with the rest of the content. So it's its own content repository, again, that is not brought in and secured and easily searchable. We're solving that problem as well. Yeah, geolocating it, you know, tagging it, getting photographs and videos and all the audio right inside the mix of being able to get to that easily is not a problem that a lot of other solutions are really offering either.
you know, when you follow the Washington Redskins, every day there's a new crisis. A crisis is crisis about that.
Yes.
And you know, you kind of tune it out. And when you read the newspaper, you read about, global warming and all these kind of things. And there's all kind of crisis. But I think one that you can really document and argue well and win an argument is about the amount of content that my agencies have to not only absorb, but they have to manage and they have to comply with standards on it. So all of a sudden, it's not just, you know, producing content. It's, okay, now we have the compliance burden that the guy over at, I don't know, at Jack in the Box doesn't have to worry about.
That's right. That's exactly right. Records management is a big driving motivator for people coming to us.
Let's take a break, come back. We'll talk more about records management, maybe touch on the content crisis, and maybe talk about open source and proprietary software and some concerns that my listeners may have. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this afternoon, Austin Adams, Vice President Public Sector at Alfresco. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this afternoon, we have Austin Adams, Vice President of Public Sector at Alfresco. We're talking about a company called Alfresco, which uses open source software as a basis to enable my listeners to do business process management, what they call BPM, and enterprise content management. That's a lot of management going on with open source tools. You know, many of my listeners read blogs, and is there a blog that you read? Maybe you can keep up with all this stuff? Maybe you can tune my listeners into something like that?
Sure, absolutely. I hate to keep pointing people back to alfresco.com, but our co-founder, who was also the founder of Documentum, who founded Alfresco as an open source alternative, does a really nice job blogging off of alfresco.com about the trends in enterprise content management and BPM. And he's a real thought leader in the industry and is the founder of our company.
And I have students. I have a lot of people who follow Twitter. You active on Twitter? How would they follow you on Twitter?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have alfresco_gov, where you can follow the public sector team that I run and all of the you know, trends and news articles that we're pushing out there and new things that are going on. And then I, of course, have one. It's at Austin Adams. But you'll get a little bit of Hoyas basketball and Wizards and that Redskin controversy might show up every once in a while as well.
When I was in Little League, I was taught to touch all the bases. And so the final base I have to touch is a podcast.
Yes.
And this is a podcast. You can listen to this live. You can listen to this on federalnewsradio.com. And you can go to the Apple Store and type in Federal News Radio and listen to this 3 months from now or 4 months from now, or listen to it in a plane and try to evaluate your performance or listen, try to figure out what's going on with Alfresco, what's going on with open source. So a lot of different ways to get information. Again, the community's changing.
Yes.
It's not go to a store, buy a book, come home, and or even take a test. It's, well, this stuff is changing so fast, I don't know if I can put it in a book because it's just moving and telling home the place.
Yeah, I'm a podcast junkie myself. Yeah.
I've been in a lot of different companies. I've worked for the largest company in the world. I've been in a lot of places. And many times, you're in business school and you go, oh, yes, IBM or Exxon has one document. No, they don't. Mm-hmm. They have dozens and dozens. Most of these decisions are made on emotional reasons. And then they'll get a new CIO in and they'll try to justify it and make more emotional decisions. And you get a bad broth because too many chefs. So where does Alfresco fit in with all these varying types of Documentum, SharePoint, custom made? Where do you fit?
Yeah, we actually just had a Forrester report come out that talks about ACM in the hybrid cloud world. It just came out in August 2015, so just this past month. Encourage everybody to take a look at that on alfresco.com as well, and it really talks right to that. So Forrester found that 70% of firms indicated they are using two or more ACM solutions, and 29% of them are using four or more.
Four. Now, but I believe it.
Yeah, I do too. And it's been a really nice value proposition to show up to those agencies who have something in their e-publication, and then grants management's using something else, and you can go to a CIO or a senior director and talk about what the impressive amount of cost savings we can provide by offering Alfresco in an AWS cloud, for example, and consolidating that, providing a single repository that provides that records management 5015.2 RM compliance to the federal agency in one single searchable, findable, governable, manageable repository that they really find pretty attractive. And we're saving, I'm really excited about being disruptive and coming to a company that that can say with a straight face, we can save you millions upon millions of dollars. And you're not, you know, frankly, my personal research, and I think the research of the market shows, people aren't particularly happy with this industry, frankly. They're pretty dissatisfied. I think this Forrester report shows people are relatively underserved by what they've bought in the past, and there's not been a lot of investment in those products. So we're pretty excited about the opportunity to show up to those kind of places.
I've been doing interviews here for 9 years, and 9 years ago, there was a sea change. Documentum kind of led the market, and the sea change was with a little product called SharePoint.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, the momentum shifted to Microsoft SharePoint.
Sure.
I've seen this huge SharePoint momentum for the last 7-8 years, and now we see options and choices and maybe some weaknesses there. So is Alfresco playing in this game, or is Alfresco comparing with more custom-made?
Yeah, we do a really nice job of, I think, helping people with problems that they have with SharePoint. I usually don't even have to start the conversation with what things are you having problems with SharePoint. It's a pretty much universal challenge of, I can't find what I want. I've bought 5-6 third-party tools to turn SharePoint into an enterprise repository for content, and it's not really serving the purpose of why I bought it. It's a glorified file share, which, by the way, I also have. And it doesn't provide me records management. So I need something to provide me management and security and governance around that. So we really talk about helping people clean, deduplicate, organize their content and store it in our repository and serve it inside of a SharePoint front end if that's how they want to offer it.
So when you said that, my flashed hybrid cloud. No, it's not a hybrid cloud. What it is, it's a hybrid system where you can take your SharePoint and use Alfresco to leverage what's in there.
That's right.
And by the way, you can also leverage something like Amazon Web Services.
Right.
As we're 10 years ago, this is one specific brand we're going to go with. Mm-hmm. Now it's, let's be more relaxed about this and not be so, it's not a mandate here. It's a way to achieve compliance, and you may have to use more than one tool.
Yeah, we're not encouraging folks to do a rip and replace model. As we talk to folks, they've made heavy investments in some very long-standing proprietary stacks, and we look to enable that content and to turn it into business processes and make it valuable to them and make it findable and searchable and compliant. And you got it dead on with the fact that there is 15 different places they're storing things, but where do I find the most recent version of that PowerPoint? I can't find the folder or the team site in SharePoint, or is it in the file share? Did I email it to myself? And that's where we show up and really help solve that problem for them. And I'm walking around on my iPhone, I pull up the Alfresco app, I can search and find that across a variety of different repositories.
I'm giving a presentation on the 15th of September, and I have a little slide deck with 38 slides, that's all, and just pictures in the slides. But what if I were collaborating on all these things, and it's stored somewhere in SharePoint? The temptation is going to be I'm going to Boston on Saturday, we'll get together. Tell you what, I'll just maybe, put on Google there, and we'll have a Google Doc, I'll open a Google Doc, and we'll share it and go back and forth. And it's, I'm in the commercial world, it doesn't make a difference. What if it was information that maybe was more sensitive?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, okay, Austin, tell you what, you're going to go on vacation. Mm-hmm. What we'll do is we'll open up a Google Doc and we'll work on it when you're on vacation, and then we'll give the presentation. What do you think? Great, okay, move, bang.
Yep.
And guess what?
Yep.
Bad things happen.
Yeah, how do I check that back into the enterprise, and how do I search and make sure who touched that?
What version?
Did they touch it? What version are we talking
about? Austin, what version is that? I did it on Saturday. No, you didn't.
Yes. And if you're in a federal context and maybe even a DoD context, who am I working with on that content? Is that person at the right security clearance level? We're working with a coalition partner. It's got to be in a particular part of my enterprise that is available and open to them. And then I'd like to bring it back in to a classified version of it. How do you handle that world? That's exactly where we land and really think we solve some really important and difficult problems.
If you see the UPS box and you bring it in your kitchen and you got to open it up, now I should go down to the workshop and get a little razor blade. No, I'll just take a kitchen knife. I'll use a kitchen knife. And my wife will scream, that's a kitchen knife. And it's not used for it, because it's convenient and easy.
That's right.
And that's a silly story, but You know, I think people are pressed, especially in emergency situations,
that's
or
right.
people go on vacation, emergency pops up, you got to do this, got to do that. Well, you know what my neighbors do is in the neighborhood, we manage a Little League team with Google Docs, and it's great, and let's just pop it up there. It's, it's easy, isn't it?
Yep.
Ah, that's so deceptive. It's deceptively easy.
Yeah, and how do you find out how that business process is going as well? And so this goes to the BPM aspect of what we provide. So if that's a repeatable business process or should be a repeatable business process, where are the bottlenecks? Who's got it? What status is this in? If this is a document that or a piece of content like a contract or a, you know, when is it checked in and who has it and what stage is it in the process? And how do I look to do some reporting and analytics on how it's been reporting going through that process? Who's been holding on to it longer than they should, you know, et cetera, I think is another aspect of where we bring in a really easy graphical user interface where I'm dragging and dropping and looking at my business process in a visual way and mapping that out and allowing non-technical IT developers to really develop a business process right in front of them is a really powerful feature here.
That's secure and compliant as well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a break, come back. We'll talk a little bit about social media and learning more about open source, maybe comparing it with proprietary software and some issues and concerns that some of my listeners may have. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio is Austin Adams, Vice President, Public Sector at Alfresco. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this afternoon is Austin Adams, Vice President, Public Sector at Alfresco. And we're talking about open source and content management and business process management. And I am on Twitter all the time. What's the Twitter handle for you folks again to follow you guys?
Alfresco underscore gov and then at Austin Adams.
Hmm. Alfresco, alfresco.com. For Italians, it's easy. For Americans, it's a little tricky. Alfresco.com. You know, many of my listeners come up to me and they go, "Wow, I heard that Austin guy. Now, is he really a nerd or is he just, you know, what was he all about?" And especially with security guys. And so I've come up with a scientific 10-question test that will determine whether or not you're a card-carrying nerd or normal.
Right.
So I'm going to ask these questions and we'll find out where you stand.
Very well.
Do you have an Instagram account?
I do.
How many cell phones have you purchased in the last year for yourself?
I'm at one.
It's not compulsive.
I don't know if this thing counts as a cell phone. It's half tablet, half cell phone. It's a phablet.
Well, that's not being compulsive. Compulsive is every 6 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Do you have a personal Twitter feed?
I do, yeah, at Austin Adams, yep.
Okay. And have you ever used Meerkat or Periscope?
I've looked at it, yeah. I've gone on, I'm a...
Nerd points,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, yep.
What kind of smartphone did you just show me?
I got one of the big iPhone 6s.
Okay. And what's the most popular app on that phone the last 30 days?
It's an interesting one, I'd say. Well, of course, the Alfresco app, right? So that's right at the heart of, you know, where what I use my phone for is to find things and work on quotes and papers and Excel sheets that I'm looking for in Alfresco. But that's one. That's a company answer. The one I really think is very cool is an app called Sunrise. Sunrise has done this really unique thing to kind of like jailbreak the iPhone to provide. When I'm in my keyboard, I select and can see a calendar, and I can click on my open times and then say, okay, and it creates a link, a hyperlink in my email and says, these are the available times that I'm open.
Oh, I want
that one.
They
click on the hyperlink and they click on the meeting.
That's perfect.
And it sends me a meeting invite back.
That's perfect. That's all. I screw up all the time.
It's genius.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we break into your house. How many tablet devices do you see floating around?
Ooh, we've got Surface, iPads. We've got a Kindle.
Ooh, boy, nerd points.
We got a lot. And then I got a one-year-old whose birthday was just yesterday, and she's got little, you know, little fake iPhone thing, and she knows how to use FaceTime. So yeah.
And what was your most recent post in social networking?
Oh, boy, I'm on either Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter.
But when was your most recent?
Oh, yeah, I did one last night, yeah.
Okay. And when is your Apple Watch due?
Oh, I've got one on.
You've got one on? Whoa, first one, 421 interviews, first one with an actual Apple Watch. You are getting big nerd points, buddy. Yeah. You're really, really off the scale here with that one.
It's 81 degrees outside, and I got a 10 o'clock
And
meeting.
You didn't show it. You didn't brag about it or point, look at that over there and show your Apple. We'll take a picture of that before you leave, though. Last book you read was electronic or paper?
I do have a library of paper books. I'll give you that.
Oh, you are so
good. Wait for it. I am an Audible fan, and I listen to not only podcasts, but audiobooks online, and so I use audible.com for my book listening.
Well, you were kind of teetering towards normal, but with that watch. And but I have to take you 2 negative points because you didn't brag about it or flash it around or like point to the door. Oh, look at the door over there. I happen to have an Apple Watch on.
Yeah, wow. My beautiful wife bought this for me for my birthday. And so it was a great gift.
We'll have to actually like to have it come back on in 6 months and talk about the watch and say, well, when you walk into a federal agency, what do they do? Yeah. There's the question, isn't it? That's interesting.
Take it off when you're headed in a classified environment. That's for sure.
The classified environment is kind of interesting to make this transition and talk about security.
Yeah.
Some people say, well, I like XYZ company because it's proprietary and it's safe. And the argument, another argument will be, well, you know, I like open source because there's a lot of people who are beating it up all the time and they kind of knock it around and make sure it's safe. So so where's this whole security concept fit in with Alfresco?
Yeah, the stack that we sit on is largely up to the customer. So if they like SQL, they like Oracle, they like NoSQL, they like MySQL, they like Amazon, you know, AWS, or any number of the backends that they like, we can run on. We don't carry with us what storage they have to use or what OS that, you know, we really offer a lot of options there. And so when we talk about being able to handle the modern federal agencies' IT concerns, I think one of the things they find, really one of the most attractive things they find about us, is how easy it is to move into their existing IT infrastructure. And, you know, one of the things on that, by the way, that has really become a hot button for me to help people with is from, you know, idea generation, requirement generation to deployment of a solution. And many of the projects I've done, and this isn't just unique to, you know, Microsoft, or it's really any real application, you're talking about year plus often, and many times 2 years, which is insane. I mean, it's moving an aircraft carrier, you know, and turning it. It takes way too long. And when we talk about Alfresco as a platform, especially as a cloud platform, where you can build applications and solve BPM problems and literally go, I have an idea that I want to enable this business process. And you can do that and show a prototype of it inside of a week and do it really right in front of someone. It's a mind-blowing experience to have somebody understand how they can start to become flexible and deliver content and deliver business processes in the way people want them, and have them come back to the CIO instead of going out and doing and buying their own silos and going out and doing the shadow IT we talked about earlier, is really, you know, what I think we're seeing some real excitement around Alfresco.
My daughter is she's an engineer, and she uses a thing called Python. Mm. And from a corporate perspective, and this is a battle we have all the time, it's, you know, from a corporate perspective, there's a little bit of a mistrust when it comes to open source. Mm. And you know what? I've signed this piece of paper with this big company, and I'm real comfortable with that. And the board of directors is not going to beat me up.
Sure.
And I imagine that my govies have the same bias. Yes. I mean, they're humans. I mean, and so how do you overcome that? Well, you know, Austin, you're a nice guy, but I'd rather sign a contract with a good old ABC.
Yeah, it's a great question. It is right at the heart of what they think about when we walk in the door is, can I trust this company with my gold data? I mean, the true, you know, crown jewels. And the answer, of course, is yes. So we have an open source version of our product that is truly free for download and use. And then we have the version that we support with our 350 plus employees and worldwide deployments and all sorts of governments. And as we mentioned, in all sorts of really exciting mission use cases. And it's that version of the product that we support and back with 24/7 award-winning support teams who we have a lot of people really laud and talk about how agile and responsive we are to our customers' needs and concerns as a support organization to that tool that we coded, we developed, that we support and patch and provide to large enterprises as our main focus. And government, by the way, really cool to work at Alfresco, who believes that government is the number one customer space that they're trying to serve and that is fully committed to making sure that we meet every federal regulation around security concerns and JITC certification in the Department of Defense and NIST, and it goes on, all the things that we want to make sure that all of our government customers feel 100% comfortable about deploying us in their enterprise.
That sounds interesting. When I think of open source, I think of support, and so you offer support. So the community model is supported just by individuals. Mm. So you have community, enterprise, and then cloud. Are those the three different flavors that are available?
It's community and enterprise. You can we've got our community one that is out there for people to trial and test and deploy. Often good for small projects and pilots and things of that nature. And our enterprise version, of course, is when we have these large, and we're really talking about not just tens of thousands of users. We're having whole agencies move, as we've talked about, consolidating all of their legacy enterprise ACM solutions into Alfresco. And we're seeing not just tens of thousands of users at agencies, but hundreds of thousands of users at agencies come to Alfresco. And then we talk about, how do you want to provide us? Do you want us to be in a cloud? Do you want us to be on-prem? Do you want part of that architecture to be on-prem and part of it to be in the cloud? You know, can we hook ourselves up to your SharePoint that's in Office 365? Do you have a file share on-prem? Do you have a SAP or Salesforce.com or Box.com investment that you'd like us to hook up to and provide security and governance around that and provide records for record solution for that as well, and help you with the OMB NARA 2016 email mandate, and then the 2019 one that will really call on everybody to solve, you know, records compliance for their entire agency.
We just have 45 seconds left. Any trade shows you'll be participating in here in the next 6-8 months in town?
Absolutely. We have the ARMA conference coming up here at October 5th that we'll be exhibiting at. And we'll be, you know, at a number of AFSEA events in the Department of Defense and some AIM seminars as well. And we're doing webinars and lunch and learns in the DC area on a monthly basis that we'd love to have people come out and visit with us.
So follow them on Twitter, go to ALF as in Frank, RESCO, alfresco.com, and get more information on open source and how to solve your business project process management problems. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal Tech Talk. And I'd like to thank my guest, Austin Adam, Vice President, Public Sector at Alfresco. Thanks, Austin.
Thanks, John.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you miss any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.